gang. Welcome to an all too exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. And yes, it is the Patrick and Jeremy show coming at you back to back. Because we live in exciting times. So I do have to say, now more than ever, we need RBN now more than ever. My God, look all around you. And with maybe the exception of Tucker Carlson, there is nowhere on the mainstream media, and really nowhere in the Twittersphere pretty much, that you're going to get any glimpse of reality. We're in the middle of a color revolution. It's happening. Everything that you've been hearing various hosts on RBN say over the years, it's happening. We try to make this a fun show, and even in the worst of times, you do need to have some fun. So maybe we're going to have some fun. But this is the Jew d'etat it's gone through the Mueller hoax and the Ukraine hoax and the impeachment hoax and the Corona hoax, and now it's just on to a full-blown color revolution. This is exactly what we've seen over and over throughout history. Iran, 1953, Chile, 1973, Ukraine, 2013, 2014, that winter, and countless other places where you have seen governments being overthrown by mobs that were put on the street, mobs that were incited. This is an old pattern, and it's happening here. It's happening. We need RBN. We still have RBN. You know how important it is. So, you know, Jeremy and I, we're working stiffs. We're not getting any money. Co-certified is great. It is so important, and we need it now more than ever. And it's totally my sponsor. It's not paying the bills for RBN. We need RBN. Go to RBN. I mean it. I always mean it, but I mean it now more than ever. Go to RBN. Click on the donate button. And really, we got to keep this going, because what else is between us and chaos? Well, not a whole lot. I think people at home with their guns, not out on the street with their guns, not yet. People at home with their guns are the only thing that is protecting the people who are at home without guns. That's the only thing that's protecting them. Because the police aren't protecting anything right now, you can see. So I guess go to RBN and go to nationalbugle.com. Do download the Co-Certified app. We're going to need the Co-Certified app and everything that it represents and everything that it's a template for in order to dig ourselves out of this hole. So that's my, not just my obligatory shilling, but these are my sincere beliefs. We are in the midst of a color revolution. Jeremy, what's on your mind?
Wow, well, first of all, I mean, you're a great salesman. I thought I did a pretty good job last Thursday of selling the RBN donation and Co-Certified app, but you, my friend, are a good salesman. Bro, you could sell ketchup popsicles to women with white gloves. You could sell brass knuckles to Gandhi, right? Very good.
But you know something? I'm not a good salesman. I actually mean it.
True. Yeah. Your thoughts and your words are, they ring true from your heart. First of all, we do have a new political correct designation for minorities. You know, in the last couple of weeks, we've referred to them as jogger Americans. And then they turned into shopper Americans, those people that...
Bargain hunters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bargain hunters. They're not yet paid for. They're not stolen. They're just items that are not yet paid for. But now, I think we have a new designation, and that would be protester Americans. What do you think?
Peaceful protesters. Peaceful protesters.
Exactly.
Yeah, what a euphemism.
peaceful protester. Bro, you could sell job applications to peaceful protester Americans.
Yeah.
That's how good you are. But anyway, yeah, we do have something going on here. First of all, I want to say that in my realm of dealing with normies, normies are questioning these riots. They're questioning everything, mm-hmm. just like they questioned the COVID-19 lockdowns. And the newest BoomerCon narrative is that George Soros is funding these protests to destroy America and displace Trump. Now,
and there may very well be a lot to that, but let's hear your analysis of it.
Well, you know, the point I wanted to make is that normies are questioning the entire system, mm-hmm. and anything that comes up is questioned, and I think that's a good thing. Even if they don't come to the totally correct conclusions and they don't have all the data, the fact is that they are questioning this, and I think that's very legitimate. So, you know, I think that COVID-19 was the setup shot, mm-hmm. and the race riots are the final blow, and this is all towards our economy. I mean, COVID-19 devastated the white working class economy, the business owners. And not just whites, but there's some blacks out there that own businesses too.
And COVID-19 did a good job. Honestly, a whole lot of immigrants. And on this radio show, it's not as if we're concentrated on American rights, but yeah, there's an awful lot of immigrant-owned businesses as well.
Well, I'm talking even about like just black small business owners that I know. I know a guy that runs a barbecue shop, and man, those hot wings are delish. I don't know how, but the blacks know how to cook hot wings and get them juicy, but yet they're done. You know, usually if you go somewhere, the chicken wings aren't done if they're juicy, and if they're done, they're dried out. But this black knows how to make them just right, and his business is suffering, and the COVID-19 lockdowns are hurting all American small business owners. And now it seems like that the riots are like almost the final death blow to American small businesses, at least in big cities anyway, because they have been targeted as for looting and destruction. So, you know, I don't blame normies for thinking this is all some kind of conspiracy, because it almost looks like that it is.
Well, it is. I still say that the power structure, the Jewish power structure, the Jewish dominated power structure is decentralized, but there's a lot of active coordination, and there's also passive coordination. Passive coordination meaning people are playing their roles without necessarily having to be instructed to do so.
Yeah.
And this is the result of years and decades of all sorts of conditioning and brainwashing, all sorts of things. I think it's too complicated to be able to spell everything out at this point, and our time would be better spent maybe doing other things. But yeah, there is a power structure, and they are. I mean, I was trying to find the right words to describe what was going on during before this race riot started, and you know, I was talking about the mother of all crackdowns. It was a crackdown, but, you know, now it's got that whole color revolution. Tucker Carlson tonight, an hour ago or so, called it a revolution from above, and the first revolution ever, which I don't think is necessarily the case, but the first revolution ever that's aimed against the working people. But that's, well, that's what he was saying.
Yeah, I listened to that Tucker clip as well. And to that point, that it could be, you know, a revolution against the working class, you know, the race riots, they could be plan B if you want to talk conspiracy. Maybe COVID-19, maybe they wanted people to get out and riot like this over COVID-19, and it didn't happen. So now they're pushing this whole police brutality on minorities thing. And
which is a hoax. You know,
it is a hoax, and the whole thing could be with an end game to implement martial law in the United States. And we might cover that later, that even though Corona Chan didn't inspire protests to that level, this new race riot thing going on that might push the United States government to go to martial law. I mean, we don't know. Something we might cover later.
Yeah, because we're going to have to, work out who is what is meant by the United States government, and B, what's meant by martial law. And I'm sorry to get definitional, but we have to. But continue.
Well, so, you know, I heard also that the looters may be going into neighborhoods and rural settings. That's not a good idea, because let me tell you, looters better stay out of the neighborhoods in rural America, especially here in West Kentucky, because, as you pointed out, gun-owning Americans are the front line now.
They are the front line. They are the herd immunity. So that was the point I made on Stormfront and reiterated on David Duke's show today, and I want to say it here, that the gun-owning Americans, people in their own homes with their own guns, are the only thing right now that is protecting the non-gun-owning Americans who are in their homes without guns, because the police aren't. The police aren't protecting themselves. They're not protecting their vehicles. They're not protecting police stations. Their police are being murdered. The only thing that is protecting the people who don't have guns in their homes are the people who do have guns in their homes, because the looters don't know who is who, for the most part. And
it's the front.
And yeah, that is the herd immunity, and that is thank you to everybody who owns a gun. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, because I do. But yeah, it's the, you know, we are the front line of civilization. Because let me tell you, like, these looters and rioters, they don't want to come into West Kentucky neighborhoods and rural areas, because they're going to get a good old fashioned redneck dose of buckshot. So, just throwing that out there. Yeah, I know. Patrick and Jeremy reaching.
We're not Fed posting.
Reaching levels of Fed posting.
We're not Fed posting. This is analysis.
This is analysis, and I'm just stating, you know, what I see as an observable reaction to people in rural areas being attacked. But to that point, peaceful protests are coming to small towns all over the United States. And it didn't happen in my particular small town, but in a small town right down the road that I grew up in, we had a protest yesterday, and it went rather well. But why did it go rather well? Well, I think it's because that everybody got on their Facebook and on their phones, and they decided that if this protest is going to happen in this Kentucky small town of Mayfield, Kentucky, that we're going to have a Christian armed redneck presence. And I do not condone bringing arms to these protests, but people have guns in their trucks. People conceal carry. People open carry in Kentucky, and they just have them on them, and you can't stop them. And the very presence of good old-fashioned law-abiding country folk kept this protest in this small town very peaceful. And that is in Mayfield, Kentucky. So I did send you an article on that. It's WPSD Local News 6. I don't know if you got that.
I haven't opened it up yet. Okay.
And WPSD Local 6 reports that in Mayfield, Kentucky, the hometown that I grew up in, about 100 people gathered outside the Graves County Courthouse Monday evening. That would be Monday, June 1st. To protest the deaths of Breonna Taylor in Louisville and George Floyd in Minneapolis, and Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia. That would be the jogger American. The protest began around 4:30 in front of the courthouse and moved to the side. Mayfield police officers and Graves County deputies blocked the streets where the protesters gathered. Firefighters also used their trucks to help block the road. So the local police department, who is in tune with the local people and the protesters, blocked this area off, and they were out there in full presence, as well as all of my redneck friends, because we all were texting each other, and we were like, you know, we're going to be there to make sure that this peaceful protest is peaceful. So the very presence of gun-toting American rednecks and pickup trucks, as well as local police officers, kept this peaceful, and there was no incident. So this is how it could go. This is a good example of how it could go when all your rowdy friends come down to the courthouse tonight. And I just wanted to make the point that, you know, this is what's lacking in the bigger cities. Small town America, we still have a pretty good hold on law and order here. Back to you, Patrick.
Okay, so what you've got, like, this first started last week, and there was very little known about it, you had lots of people come out and say, oh, how terrible the death of this George Floyd guy was. And, of course, whatever happened to him and whatever that... We are so far beyond where that's even relevant to what's going on now. We're in the middle of a color revolution, and there, in no sane universe, do you overthrow a government because of what happened to one person. It makes absolutely no sense. Now, of course, as you know, information comes out, the guy had previously served four or five years in prison for a home invasion where he held a woman at gunpoint. He was on drugs when he was pulled over. A very volatile mix of drugs, by the way. He's a porn actor. And, I mean, he's just a very, very shady character. And, of course, he had been resisting arrest. He didn't want to get into a police vehicle. He kept saying he had claustrophobia. Did he have claustrophobia? And then, who knows? Then he was saying he couldn't breathe. Could he not breathe? Who knows? I mean, at some point, you get, like, the little boy who cries wolf too often. Maybe he couldn't breathe. I don't know. And at this point, it doesn't even matter. Mike Tyson, and you know you're near end times when Mike Tyson is the voice of reason. But Mike Tyson tweeted out, if white people rioted every time a black man killed a white, there would be no peace. Now, of course, that had to be taken down. That tweet had to be removed. So this is how far we've come. Meanwhile, everybody else, I can understand a week ago some confusion and people wanting to you know, decry what seemed to be like an awful video and everything. But now you've got to the point where everybody, from corporations down to, you know, high school girls, everybody has to obligatorily post a black square on their social media. And there's some troll, some internet YouTuber who's been going around, is it New York, and he's getting people to take a knee. You know, that's the thing. The protesters, the so-called protesters got police to take a knee. So that's the thing, is walking up to people and saying, take a knee for, well, so this YouTuber who's kind of trolling, he's telling people to take a knee for George Foreman or take a knee for Floyd Mayweather, whatever the guy's name is, a boxer. And people are doing it. And then he's trying to get their dogs to take a knee. So there is never been this kind of chaos. It's very alarming, and I don't try to be an alarmist, but it is not the time to go out with your rifles, and it's not the time for that. I do want to thank people who have them have your arms at home. You're what is protecting civilization, right? At this point, you're the only protection civilization has. And so I want to thank everybody who has maintained a working firearm at their home. It's not time to go out. Don't go out. That makes things worse. But thank you. And we'll be right back.
Coming over tonight.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Back. Okay, Jeremy, so you've done a little bit of research, and this may come as a shock to a lot of people, but it seems that it's not the fact that there are some murders in the United States that aren't white racist cops killing unarmed black men. Tell us about it, because we'd never hear about this otherwise.
Well, yeah, and just the narrative is it doesn't matter about George Floyd. It doesn't matter what he did. You know, the point is that this was an unarmed black man that died under police brutality. And that's the narrative. It doesn't matter of cities burning and stores looted. We should all just focus on how blacks are mistreated by police. But, you know, the reality is that in that small town of Mayfield that we were talking about, where I grew up, the last few murders that were done by black men.
And who were the victims?
There was a black man that had a white girlfriend. They broke up, and the black man broke into her house, killed her, and shot her son, her teenage son who was trying to defend her. There was a black man earlier that took a little girl, burnt her, and put her in a dumpster. And, you know, those were the murders that happened.
I never heard of those.
Yeah, well, it was small town stuff. But you take Minneapolis, Minnesota. How about last year when a black man decided he was going to go to the mall in Minneapolis to kill a white person, and he took his vengeance out on a five-year-old little boy, threw the little boy off of a balcony.
I did hear that. That was the Mall of America, wasn't it? Very aptly named, because that's what's happening now.
The little boy survived, but he was all messed up.
He shouldn't have been a racist, should it? Right? I mean, isn't that the lesson that we're supposed to draw from this? That's what he gets from being a little white racist.
Right, he was a little white. But like, the point is that that was not investigated as a racial hate crime by the FBI. That was just, some random guy threw some kid off the balcony. But it really was a race crime. It was a racist crime against whites. And also, you had a black police officer in Minneapolis shoot a white woman. The white woman had called the police on a 911 call to, investigate crimes, and she came out to the police car in hysteria and with her arms up, and they shot her.
In a nightgown, right?
What's that?
I think she was like in pajamas or a nightgown or something.
Yeah, I mean, totally non-threatening, and this black cop just shot her. I mean, so here you have time after time, an incident after incident of black-on-white crime, but yet we don't get this response. So this is definitely a media-generated response to get racial tensions and hostilities stirred up in America. So that's what I'm seeing here. Back to you, Patrick.
So you sent me an article from the New York Times on the 1807 Insurrection Act. So why do we need to know about this?
Well, Trump has threatened to, basically he's called the governors of America weak, and he's threatened to act militarily if they don't act. And this article from the New York Times is assuming that Trump is going to invoke the Insurrection Act of 1807, which actually was invoked in the 1992 Los Angeles riots. But anyway, legal experts regard the act as a major exception to the law that generally forbids the use of military for domestic law enforcement. If a city refuses to take the actions necessary to defend the life and property of the residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem, Mr. Trump said in the Rose Garden. So he didn't mention the act by name, but that would be the act that he would have to invoke in order to carry through with that threat statement.
Okay, so you have in relatively recent memory, for instance, the civil rights movement, you had a number of cases where the National Guard, or even, what is it, the 151st Airborne, have been used to integrate schools or whatnot. So famously, there was a case where, was this Eisenhower or Johnson? I think it was Eisenhower. I think it was when Little Rock, Arkansas High School, Little Rock High School, I think that was the case. Maybe it was Ole Miss University or something. But one of the governors was using the National Guard to keep the black students out or something like that. And then...
The 1957 Eisenhower was the first time.
And then Eisenhower then nationalized the National Guard, took over control, and used the same National Guard troops to integrate Little Rock High School. And this happened, there was, I think Kennedy was rather reluctant to use this type of power, but Johnson did. So, certainly, calling the national, we'll talk about this on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
With respect, Master Wayne, perhaps this is a man you don't fully understand either. A long time ago, I was in Burma. My friends and I were working for the local government. They were trying to buy the loyalty of tribal leaders by bribing them with precious stones. But their caravans were being raided in a forest north of Rangoon by a bandit. So we went looking for the stones. But in 6 months, we never met anyone who traded with him. One day, I saw a child playing with a ruby the size of a tangerine. The bandit had been throwing them away.
So why steal
them? Well, because he thought it was good sport. Because some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.
And we're back. So, certainly there have been cases where the National Guard, in recent memory, well, relatively recent, and I think in the Los Angeles riots of 1992, where the National Guard has been called out to deal with riots and other types of civil unrest. There was an article in the Daily Stormer today, I think it was today, where Andrew Anglin was responding or reacting to Tucker's epic monologue from Monday, which was epic, which was, in my estimation, probably the most important 26 minutes of television in American history. Maybe I'm overrating it, but I think it was really important. Andrew Anglin thought it was really, really important, but he said he disagrees with Tucker's implied conclusion that that Trump needs to, what were the words he used? Use the military or declare martial law or whatever. I'm not an expert on this aspect of the law and the Constitution. I think there is a difference between martial law and calling a National Guard to restore order. I think there's a difference. And maybe if you read from this 1807 act, maybe it will help clarify things. But I do support President Trump calling out the National Guard. We talked yesterday about the National Guard, and I think the National Guard is the right instrument to use. It's different from the professional, you know, standing army that we have. National Guard, I mean, that is the descendants of the well-organized militias mentioned in the Constitution. But, you know, they are people who are, they're citizen soldiers. And I think that is the right tool to use, that the riots really have to be ended. Order must be restored. And if that doesn't happen, the government's going to be overthrown. And this is a color revolution. This is the coup d'etat. And this has to happen. So read, if you will, from the Resurrection Act. We'll try to decide whether this is relevant, and then I want your thoughts.
Yeah, and so like we spoke of yesterday, and like Andrew England alluded to, the fear is that if the military were used to restore order in the United States, I mean, would that power remain in place for the next COVID lockdown? That's the fear.
Mm-hmm.
But just get back to this article from the New York Times. What is the Insurrection Act? And an early version of the Insurrection Act, which was first approved by Congress in 1792. To, quote, provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, to suppress insurrections, and to repel invasions. That's what the article quotes the act as being. And the article also mentions that it has been amended several times in the centuries since. But generally, the law gives the president the power to send military forces two states to quell widespread public unrest and to support civilian law enforcement. But before invoking it, the president must first call for the insurgents, quote unquote, read that, rioters, to disperse. And this is according to a Congressional Research Service report published in 2006. If stability is not restored, the president may then issue an executive order to deploy troops. Now, I have read where governors have told the president that they do not request this service. So the question then becomes, like, at what point will the president be constitutionally, and legally able to implement this when he determines that the governors are unable or unwilling to restore justice in their
states?
Maybe
he could ask President Eisenhower and the governor of Arkansas.
Yes, those, Eisenhower pretty much just overrode that governor and nationalized the Guard for, you know, the blacks to be able to attend school with white students. And I'm pretty sure none of the blacks or none of the whites really wanted that. It was just sort of imposed. But we digress. Let's go on with the article. The idea for the law was that there could be circumstances in which the local and state authorities.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. You know, one of those Arkansas high school students, I'm pretty sure he later came out, the black kid, later came out and was a big supporter of David Duke.
Base.
Yes.
So the law is basically based on the fact that there could be circumstances where the local and state authorities were unable or unwilling to maintain law and order. That's a big phrase there, unwilling. And that's what we're coming to now. So the article goes on to say that the use of military or civilian law enforcement has been restrained as part of the Constitution's protections for civil liberties and state sovereignty. So let's stop right there and unpack that. So mm-hmm. Civil liberties. So back in the 60s, in the late 50s, the federal government basically said, well, the civil liberties of the blacks were being infringed upon, so we're going to enact this law. Well, I'm asking the question to you, what about the civil liberties of regular Americans that don't want to see their cities burnt down mm-hmm. and their businesses and stores looted? Would that be the same thing? Could the federal government enact this law to protect their civil liberties?
Could they invoke it? So I don't know if it has to be this law or something else. But we know, based on the experience of decades in living memory, that presidents have used National Guard to restore order or enforce policy, because that's what happened in Arkansas. Whether it's based, his authority is based on this law or something else, I don't know. But I know that authority exists. We know the authority exists. It's been used, and I say it's necessary, because we can't go another day or two or three of this, and you've got the overthrow of the American state. I mean, it's the end of, and you know, you've got black celebrities now, like the Ghostbusters lady from Saturday Night Live, who are tweeting out that, you know, we've got to end the Constitution, you know, and these people in the streets don't care anything about the Constitution. So you're talking about the end of the American Republic. You're talking about the end of the Republic that was set up in, you know, the 1780s with the Constitution. And there are those people, I know there are those people who listen to other podcasts who might think, yeah, well, that was a corrupt Constitution. Try living without a Constitution. It doesn't work out too well. You know, we've got full-blown color revolution going on right now. We don't have time. And so I think, Marshall, there's a difference between calling out the National Guard to quell riots and restore order and martial law. And I guess the only experience we had with martial law was in certain parts of the Confederate states that were occupied by the Union or whatnot, during Lincoln administration. And I think we're talking about two different things. I think they're different things. Now, the other thing is the government. Right now, I don't think you can talk about the government as a single entity, because it's perfectly clear you've got elements of the government. You've got the CIA and the FBI, certainly big elements of the state that have been, for the past 3 years, 3.5 years, involved in the coup d'etat against Donald Trump. To talk about the government, if Donald Trump, if he wants to save the Republic and perhaps save his own personal life, or certainly save his presidency, he's got to call out the National Guard, and if the National Guard is obeying his orders, things will work out well. If things go on a few more days, you get to the point, you look at history, you look at Ukraine in 2013, 2014, you look at the Soviet Union in 1991, and a difference in a few days, and all of a sudden, the military is not listening to President Gorbachev anymore, and they're listening to other people. So we're at that point. We are there. And right now, Donald Trump could probably call out the National Guard, and they would obey him. We might only be a number of days from the point where he cannot call out the National Guard, because they won't respond to him anymore. And I mean, we are on the precipice of an end of the Republic as we know it. And what's on the other side is not good. We know it's extremely hostile to whites.
Yes, and speaking of hostile to whites, I mean, you know, Trump has come out and said that Antifa is to be labeled as a terrorist organization, and mm-hmm. a lot of people are like, yes, what took you so long? But this is in response to a lot of news that we've seen where white people dressed in black are getting into these riots in the nation, and they're breaking into businesses. There's crate loads of bricks being supplied to the rioters, and there is definitely white people that are helping instigate these riots mm-hmm. and burnings of our cities. And so Trump for now is saying that it's Antifa, but there's a lot of talk that These white people are not Antifa, but actually white supremacists.
And of course, we know that is complete nonsense, but continue.
That is complete nonsense, but if there can be legislation that designates Antifa as terrorists, how far away are we away from them saying that white nationalists are terrorists?
Oh, we're past that, though.
Oh, yeah, we are, but there should be legislation. There could be legislation coming down, and I want to tell the viewers or the listeners, be careful how you label yourself. Do not label yourself publicly as white nationalist mm-hmm. or Nazi, because the legislation could be passed where, you know, listeners to RBN, listeners to Rents Network could be labeled as terrorists. And that is a dangerous line that we're mm-hmm. walking here. So I would say label yourself as an American patriot.
And I think that's very sound advice. There's one point I want to make that you probably won't hear anywhere else. With regard to the Insurrection Act, I think that I don't know what is the legal basis for calling out the National Guard. I just know it can be done. I do think that leaders need to think twice before they use terms like insurrection or, you know, war, because of here's one reason they want to be careful of the terms they use. I don't want them to delay decisions because we need action now. But if you were to label something as an insurrection, what might wind up happening is all of these businesses that have burned out can't collect on insurance, and then, you know, it's just something to think about. It's not the most important thing in the world, but it is important. And it's something for the leaders to think about. It's probably not something that our own people need to think about too much. But what do you think, Jeremy? Do you think that President Trump should call out the National Guard sooner, like immediately, like yesterday?
Yes, definitely. But then I worry about where it's going to go from there. And if the National Guard does stay in power, and if America is governed by soldiers on the streets, how will that play out if there's another COVID-19 lockdown? That's what I'm worried about. Well, I think that's what Andrew Anglin's worried about.
I think that's what he's worried about. But here's why I think the worry is misplaced. If the National Guard goes out to shut down the riots and they're obeying orders from Trump, I'm not a Trump plan truster, and I'm very realistic about Trump, but the Trump at this point knows that the coronavirus, just like the he's got to know that the coronavirus, just like the riots and so much and the rest of the Judaizers, it's all a bunch of hoaxes. I don't think Donald Trump has any interest whatsoever in shutting down the country for coronavirus ever again. And I think he's been actually pretty clear about it.
I do. I see that. But here's another concern. There is a push. There's a meme trying to be memed out there that white people, white supremacists, white nationalists are responsible for these riots. Even though it's mostly blacks out there, this is still being memed.
It's being memed. Do you think that could, like, could stand up? I mean, I know it's got maybe the power of the media behind it, but there's absolutely A, no evidence, and B, no sense for it. Is there?
Well, there's a lot of videos and you know, of white people dressed in black with masks on, and we know they're Antifa, and Trump is calling out Antifa, but there's a lot of other people saying, well, these aren't really Antifa. They're white nationalists. They're white supremacists. Just like there was a Twitter saying that Identity Europa with a V, that was weird, was behind this. So, and Rush Limbaugh actually addressed this. If we get a chance, maybe we can cover some of Rush's comments.
We have a minute or so before the break, and then we have after the break. And Rush is an important voice because he got a big audience, so I want to hear what he has to say.
He was actually defending white people to the best of his ability, and I give him an A. Mm-hmm. I give him a 90% out of 100 for defending white people.
Look, we are in the biggest crisis since the Civil War. in my estimation. And at this point, there's no point in going back and looking at, and saying, oh, so-and-so was on the wrong side of this issue or that issue a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. If Rush Limbaugh is going to be saying some common sense, then he's our guy. If Mike Tyson is going to be saying some common sense, he's our guy. We've got a fire, and we got to put out. We're on a boat that's sinking. We've got to save the boat. The way I feel. What do you say? Okay. Well, let's hear more about Rush Limbaugh after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
And we are back. Okay, we are going to play what may turn out to be a very important clip from Rush Limbaugh. Oh, let's just get straight to it.
They can properly define what they mean by white supremacist, because in their world, everybody white is a white supremacist. Mr. Snerdly, help me out here. You personally, what does white supremacist, not white supremacy, but what is a white supremacist to you personally? Okay, they kooks, in the Aryan Nation, the KKK, the skinheads and all, those are the white supremacists. Okay, they number about 0.5 or 1/3% of the population. They're by no means mainstream. So how is it that according to Anderson Cooper and Arrested and Drive-By Media, white supremacists are behind all the looting and the rioting? And here's Trump trying to shut it down. They ought to be supporting Trump. They hate white supremacists, right? The white supremacists are behind this. Then they ought to be right in there supporting President Trump, but they're not. Well, I hate to tell you, but I don't think that is the definition of white supremacy as bandied about by the left. I think to them, white supremacy is anybody who's white who doesn't feel guilty about it. So if you're what, especially if you are a white person, you don't feel guilty about it, you're a white supremacist. Now, you know, I'm the mayor of Vrielville. I believe in definitions. Words mean things. So you look at supremacy. White supremacy, to me, says that there are, that would mean there are people who think that the white race is superior because it's better. Well, and there may be some kooks who think that, but they, again, are such a small number. You could put them in a phone booth if you could find a phone booth anymore. The number of white people in America today who actually think they're better than anybody else on the basis of skin color is so infinitesimally small you couldn't count them. Wouldn't be worth your time. And yet that is what they are attempting to say is the dominating culture in the country today. And now going so far as to say that those are the people behind the looting and the rioting and the protests.
Okay, so that was interesting. What do you make of that, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, Rush is not wrong. We don't judge supremacy based on the color of skin. Nobody does. We judge if a culture is superior based on its accomplishments. And, you know, he's not wrong. It's not the color of skin. So, you know, we judge cultures based on behavior, on what they've accomplished, what civilizations they've built, and how they react, you know, in everyday life. So, yeah, he's right. White supremacy is not based on the color of skin, and that's who the media is trying to blame for these riots. And if you listen to that full hour of Rush Limbaugh on June 2nd, or what is this? Yeah, June 2nd, 2020, he really does try to defend white people, and I'm going to give him kudos for that.
He does, and I'll give Mike Tyson some kudos, because looking around, there's not a whole lot of kudos to be given out right now, but we're doing our best. Please support RBN, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're a- listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.